Though one of the most important events in the history of agriculture took place in plain sight, almost no one paused to notice. The event was the removal of an essential nutrient from the human food chain, for which we are all now, every single one of us, facing a plague of deficiency diseases. Today we go in search of that missing nutrient with a question: what happened to our omega-3 fatty acids?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 590th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Acora who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Staff.
Hello, everyone.
And Parmley Taff.
Hello.
Folks, we have shortchanged our bodies to the tune of one essential nutrient. That nutrient is the omega-3 fatty acid. As a consequence, we now face a myriad of deficiency diseases, including acne, Alzheimer's, arthritis, ADD, autism, cancer, depression, diabetes, heart diseases, immune deficiencies, lupus, macular degeneration, obesity, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, schizophrenia, stroke, vision disorders, and many, many more. And so today we pause to ask, why did we remove omega-3s from our food chain? Here to help us find an answer, we have Susan Allport, who is the author of Queen of Fat. Susan, welcome to the Food Chain. Well, she is here someplace, and we'll figure it out in just a second here. Over on the air. Well, Nikki, come in and help us figure it out here. Folks, minor technical difficulty, but we'll work it out here. We got a glitch in our boards, and we'll figure it out here in just a second as soon as Nikki comes in and works it over here. Until that time, I'll tell you a little bit about Susan. She is a technical writer, a science writer, food writer, who wrote The Queen of Fats. And let's see. And she's answered a question that I've always been struggling with as long as I can remember, and that is, what is exactly these long chain or these omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids? And we hear a lot so much today about the need to be taking them for our diets or supplementing them, but I've never really known or understood what they were and what the difference between the threes and sixes and nines and whatnot are. And Susan really laid that out in a great story called The Queen of Fats. You know, what do you think, Nikki? Can you find anything here?
I can't.
And? So we have a technical difficulty and we're trying to work it out. Hold on there, Susan. We'll figure it out here. We're just missing something. And we'll ask you out there, where do you get your essential fatty acids? Do you get them from supplementation like so many of us do? And how much do we need to supplement? And what kind of supplements are the best? Well, be darned. Are you there, Susan? We still don't have Susan. Are you there, Susan? No, Susan. Okay. We're going to try picking her up on another line, I guess, and see if that works. So, folks, this is the Food Chain. We're having some major technical difficulties here. We have a great guest. We have a great subject, but we don't quite have a connection with the hardware here, and sometimes that works out in radio. Sometimes the connections just aren't there. And today the subject is essential fatty acids, and I guess I'll start working with the subject, and hopefully we'll be able to pick up Susan here in just a moment. It came to pass some decades ago that we left an ingredient from our food chain that is essential to our body's health, and that is the omega-3 fatty acids. The question we're going to be working with today is, what exactly happened to that essential fatty acid? Why did we remove it from our food chain? What are the consequences of losing it? And what can we do to bring it back? Susan Allport has outlined a subject in the book Queen of Fats, and hopefully we'll be picking her up in just a moment and working with her on that subject. So we're going to try a different line here. Maybe that'll work. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, and questions we're going to be working with today, we're going to ask Susan what exactly is an essential nutrient. A significant question indeed. What is it that we need to keep our body going? What are the important elements? What is an essential fatty acid? We've heard a lot about fats and fatty acids. During the 1980s, we were asked not to eat any fats at all. Remember those days? Doctors and physicians and everybody told us not to eat any kinds of fats whatsoever because it will load up our arteries and our heart and give us heart diseases. And then after that, we went into the Atkins diet and we were eating all kinds of fats. And we seemed to be going from one polar extreme to the other. And so today we're kind of look at fats and fatty acids and ask what the difference is. Then we're going to look at the difference between the omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids and try to find a balance of those two things. We've heard a lot about how omega-3s are deficient in our diet and we must supplement. Well, how much do we supplement? What do we supplement with? Will those things really help us? Or is there another ingredient in there? Another element in the omega-3 and omega-6 equation that we must study. Why did we remove omega-3s from our diet in the first place? So let's give Susan a try here and see if we have her on this line. Susan, do we have you? We do not have you. Not at all. Well, folks, I guess we're going to be stuck trying to figure this one out for a little while here. Let's take a quick break, Nikki. Can we take a quick break? We're going to take a quick break and see if we can't figure out this hardware here. And we will be right back after these messages. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. Please do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, we're back, kind of. We'll see if we can pick up Susan here. We're fighting some major technical difficulties. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Susan, do we have you this time? We do not. Okay, then we're just going to have to go reboot the telephone system and that's that. So the subject today was to have been essential fatty acids with Susan Allport, the queen of fats. And we're looking at the disappearance, a great mystery, of one of the essential fatty acids in the food chain. What happened to this element, this essential element to our bodies, and what we can do to replace it. And the essential fatty, the element is omega-3 fatty acids. And there are two essential fatty acids that we need, that our bodies need, threes and sixes. Are we going to reboot that? Kind of out of breath, I was running back and forth to the engineer's office to see if we could pick up Susan here. So apparently we're going to have to reboot the whole system. Sometimes that's the way of life, and that's the way of life today. So we're talking about the disappearance of omega-3 fatty acids, and I guess I'll kind of have to fill in until Susan comes. Some years ago, the omega-3s disappeared from our food chain. And perhaps it was during the 80s when we were trying to get rid of all fats from our diets. And so we focused on a diet that was low on fats and high on carbohydrates. And we worked at this, and pretty soon we were able to, let's see, pretty soon we were able to have a diet that was low on fats and high on carbohydrates. And then we came to the conclusion that this was not the right way. So we went for the Atkins diet in case we had, in which we had a lot of fats, a lot of protein, and low on carbohydrates. And now Susan Allport comes with the queen of fats and suggests that both of these ways were kind of off base and that we're not looking at the essential ingredients here of fats, which our bodies need to carry information from one place to the other. It's how we build our body is through these fats. And she suggests that there are two fats that we need, threes, omega-3s and omega-6s, and somehow we lost one of them. And that was that. So where did we lose them? Oh, good. Maybe we have some help here. Engineer Doug happened to walk in. Hopefully he can help us out here. What we have is a missing link in our telecommunication system here, folks, just like we have a missing nutrient in our food chain. Is that you, Susan?
Yep.
I got you. What happened?
Oh, wonderful.
You did what?
I put her on from back.
Okay, so there we go. Well, fine. I'm sorry.
You're doing such a good job, Michael. I should just let you finish this.
Well, okay. Well, I was going to go right into what I want you to talk about, but first let's start with Susan Allport, queen of fats. I have to ask you, who is the queen of fats?
Well, that's me.
Oh, good.
Of course, right?
Then I can introduce you that way. I was wondering if you were the queen of fats or omega-3s.
Well, no. It's I call the omega-3s the queen of fats because the king of fats, a fat that we actually require slightly more of in our diet, are those omega-6s.
Mm-hmm.
We require about twice as many of them as we do omega-3s,
so
but what we have currently in the diet is about 10 times as many of them.
Okay.
And
the relationship is 2-1. Two kings to one queen?
Yeah, 2-4 kings to one queen. That creates a nice 50-50 balance in our tissues. That ratio in our diet creates that balance in our tissues. And that 50-50 balance is something that we now know is important. When we started making all these, giving all this nutritional advice about fat, we had no idea that this was important. We had no idea even that omega-3s were essential at the time in the 60s when we started linking fat to heart disease and other ailments. So,
When did we discover omega-3s and omega-6s and the relationship thereof?
We knew that omega-6s were essential for health, at least for rats, in the 1930s. It was suspected of being essential for health for humans, too, at that time, but it wasn't really known the 60s until the 1960s. And so, of course, we thought it was a great idea to have all these vegetable oils with lots of omega-6s in them, because then we knew that 6s were essential for health. We didn't know that the 3s were also essential for health for another 20 years or so. And in that 20 years, those omega-3s were kind of written out of our food supply, our nutritional recommendations, and we're now suffering the consequences.
And it was easy to write them out, too, because they are so volatile, correct?
Right. They're much more susceptible to oxidation than the 6s. So it was thought to be a good thing. Okay, we can eliminate them through either breeding or the process of partial hydrogenation, which specifically eliminates those omega-3s. We'll be rid of those things that are susceptible to oxidation. We'll have a longer shelf life, and we'll have better health because, you know, we don't really need them, so why not eliminate them? And that's what happened.
And away they went.
And away they went.
When did you have a great story about discovering why omega-3s were important?
You mean the young girl?
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, this young gunshot victim was actually the first case of omega-3 deficiency, and that's when the omega-3s have been completely eliminated from the body. Most of us are just insufficient in omega-3s. We've got some hanging around because the body really hangs on to them if it can.
Mm-hmm.
But this young gunshot victim was 6 years old when a portion of her stomach was removed, so she had to be fed intravenously. And she was fed on safflower oil, which is an oil which is very high in those omega-6s and very, very low in the omega-3s. And after about, oh, I don't know, a couple months, maybe 6 months of feeding on this sole nutrient, she began to, you know, experiences these dizzinesses and blurred vision, inability to walk, symptoms that doctors had not ever seen in, you know, one cohesive package before. And fortunately, one of her doctors was aware of the omega-3 research that was then going on, and he got her blood to somebody who understood, and this is something we haven't talked about yet, Michael, but understood that what's really important for us to know is that these omega-6s and omega-3s compete with each other for enzymes and positions in our cell membranes, such that anybody who's on a diet that's extremely rich in omega-6s, as this little girl was, their tissue is going to be extremely poor in those omega-3s. And this little girl's blood samples got to this researcher who was aware of this. He saw how deficient she was in the omega-3s. He switched the vegetable oil that was the basis of her her feeding diet, and within weeks she was, you know, back to as normal as she could be.
Wow.
So that she was our first case of it. Actual deficiency, and as I said, most of us are just insufficient in them. We've overwhelmed our diet and our foods and our tissues with these omega-6s, so we've been crowding out the omega-3s.
And it's not something with the little girl, of course. It's something that became manifest right away because she was totally deficient.
Yes,
whereas
right.
The rest
most of us
us
don't experience those symptoms. We experience the heart, we experience a long-term insufficiency of these, which is reflected in the incidence of heart disease, obesity, depression, other things.
Wow. And what was the consequence of this observation of this little girl among the community of
It didn't have much of an impact because at that time, why didn't it have an impact? I guess people still weren't aware of the fact that the food supply was pointing us in the direction of more and more omega-6s at that time.
So people really didn't realize what was going on out there in agriculture to change this.
So that happened maybe 6 to 10 years after this little girl, and most people had made the changes so that there was omega-3s in things like the feeding of hospital patients. They knew enough to do that, but they didn't realize that there were these chronic long-term problems associated with the food supply. So she didn't have much of an impact, and it was interesting to talk to her mother. Her mother had no idea, you know, how really important her case was.
What a significant insight.
Yeah.
Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're talking about the Queen of Fats with the Queen of Fats, Susan Allport, the author of The Queen of Fats. We're talking about the missing ingredient in our food chain. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the seasons of the fats and the difference, the essential difference between the essential nutrients, omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. Please do stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about a deficiency of an essential nutrient, one that we have removed from the food chain. What happened to it? Which one was it? Well, it was the omega-3 fatty acid. We've almost essentially gotten rid of it, correct, Susan?
Well, it's hard to remove because entirely, because the omega-3s are the most abundant fat on the planet.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Fats are so much more interesting than we ever imagined. Omega-3s originate in the chloroplast of green leaves. And since green leaves are the most abundant...
Well, just a sec. Chloroplasts are the essential ingredient for photosynthesis, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're talking right here at the basic engine of life on Earth.
Exactly. And they're required for a plant's speediest activity, which is photosynthesis. And those omega-3s are also required for our speediest activities, nerve transmission, the beating of our hearts, and
the eyes,
contraction of our muscles, right?
The eyes.
The processing of light, exactly. So it's very, that's what got me into this whole story when I realized that that same family of fats was the predominant fat in the green leaves of plants and in our brains and eyes and hearts. I was just hooked. What was it about this family of fats that made it so essential for these speedy activities?
Well, when I set the show up and I sent out the press release, I titled it Seasons of the Fats. Why would I do that?
Because what's neat is when you know where these two families originate, you then realize that they are, in effect, markers of the changing seasons. The omega-3s are the predominant fat in the chloroplast of green leaves. So they're available anytime green leaves are available, which is the spring and the summer. And omega-6s are much more prevalent in the seeds of fats. So they're much more available in the fall and in the winter. So in effect, when we're taking in these fats, when they become part of our tissues, they allow us to prepare for those changing seasons.
So for
periods of activity and reproduction, when we're taking in a lot of greens and other, you know, greens and green leaves, and periods of hunkering down and survival when we're taking in lots of seeds. And for foraging animals that, you know, live out in the wild, they really need those changes in order to get ready for those changing seasons, because they don't want to be all speeded up with nowhere to go in the winter. They use those changing fats to hunker down and survive throughout the winter. We, of course, are, you know, we are expected to be active all year round,
mm-hmm.
but we are also, we now know, eating a high seed, high omega-6, slow down diet all year round.
Wow.
That's where the mismatch is occurring.
So caller wants to know what foods contain sixes and what foods contain threes. So threes are the speeding up foods, the greens, right?
So they're in greens and animals that eat greens.
And then,
so just think that way. If you go to the farmer's market and you're getting a lot of grass-fed chicken and cows and pig, that meat is going to be much richer in those omega-3s and much leaner in those omega-6s. So think of that. Also think that fish are, yes, fish are indeed rich in the threes, but and fish are some of the last animals that we eat that still eat greens. Most of our other animals in our food supply, we now feed grains and seeds instead of greens.
And this is really where omega-3s went missing from the Western diet.
Yeah, that's another very big aspect to the story.
As we industrialized our food chain,
we switched from
feeding our animals grass to grain.
Yeah.
And this is true even with fish now, correct?
Yes, it's true with fish, but we still eat a certain amount of wild fish, and wild fish are still eating lots of greens, and so they're very good sources of the threes. Farm fish are indeed they're still sources of omega-3s, but they have a lot more omega-6s in their tissues from the grain that farmers are putting into their farm fish.
What did the Eskimos teach us about the deficiencies of omega-3s?
Well, the Eskimos taught us a lot in that the Eskimos traditionally had very low rates of heart disease, and yet they ate a huge amount of fat. And so two researchers from Denmark went up to kind of try and look more closely at that seeming paradox. And they found that the tissues of the Eskimo were full of these omega-3 fats and very, very poor in the omega-6 fats, whereas the tissues of Danes, who suffered a high heart attack rate, were full of the omega-6 fats and very deficient in the omega-3 fats. So then those two researchers looked at the foods that the Eskimos ate, which were, you know, whale and seal and fish, and they also found, as we now know, everyone knows, that those foods are also full of the omega-3 fats. And
so ironically enough, the Eskimos, who are around no green plants, we're getting plenty of omega-3s, which come directly from green plants.
And then conversely, there are people in Africa who don't eat any fish, but they're also not eating any of these high omega-6 vegetable oils, and they don't have a high rate of heart disease either. So you don't have to have the fish. That's where, after the Eskimo story came out, everybody thought, just need to eat a lot of fish to fix our heart disease problem. There aren't enough fish in the ocean for us to fix it in that way.
Because there
just aren't enough fish in the ocean.
Because we're also eating too many omega-6s.
Yes, if we were eating fewer of those omega-6 fats, we'd need to eat very little fish in order to contain enough of those omega-3 fats. As is shown by these populations in Africa, which are eating very few fish, but eating none of those vegetable oils, and their tissues are as high in the omega-3 fats as the Eskimos are. So there are many ways to accomplish this, having the right amount of omega-3s in our diet. Eating lots of fish is one way. It's not a sustainable way, but it is one way. Eating less of those omega-6 fats and a moderate amount, a very small to moderate amount of fish and greens and other animals that eat greens, that's another way that's much more sustainable.
So not only are we facing a problem of a deficiency of omega-3s, we're really facing a problem of an imbalance between way too many omega-6s and way too few omega-3s, correct?
Right. And once we understand that these two families compete for positions in our tissues, and we understand that animals have made good use of that competition for all of time until this moment, because as I said, that competition allows those two families to help us get ready for the changing season.
Wow.
It's a good thing.
Right back, this is the Food Chain. We've got Susan Allport, the Queen of Fats. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, there is a missing ingredient in our food chain these days. It's the omega-3 fatty acid. It is there in quantities that are hard to get enough of. And one of the reasons it's hard to get enough of omega-3s is we've taken it out of our agriculture. We no longer feed our animals grasses. We feed them grains. And the grains are rich in omega-6s. So we are consequently getting way too many omega-6s and way too few omega-3s. So there is an incredible imbalance in our body's nutrition that leaves us vulnerable to many diseases. Everything from acne to vision disorders, cancers, obesity, you name it. There must be, 50 diseases that we're now...
Oh, there's no end to it. You know, it's not just our brains and our hearts that need omega-3s. It's every single cell and tissue in our body. So it's not a surprise that, you know, this litany of diseases just continues to grow every year as people link more and more illnesses to this imbalance.
And it's not just a deficiency, it's an imbalance.
Yeah. It's fascinating because there are very small differences in structure, in chemical structure, between the omega-6s and the omega-3s, but very large differences in function, as researchers have been discovering. And nobody could have ever anticipated that there would be such large differences in function between these two families of fats that have such really small differences in chemical structure. Fascinating.
With respect to bringing this missing nutrient, this missing essential nutrient back into our food chain, I guess there's two things that we could do, correct? We could supplement, and then we could just start feeding our animals grasses.
Well, there's a very simple way for most individuals, and that's to switch to a seed or vegetable oil that has a healthy balance of the two families. And fortunately for us, there are some seeds that do have this healthy balance. The rapeseed, which has been modified to now make canola oil, is one of these. Flaxseed, as people probably know, is another, but flaxseed is generally not used for cooking. But canola oil is a great oil for cooking, and it has a very healthy balance of 6s to 3s, of 2 to 1. So just switching to canola oil for most of your cooking is going to really help. And then looking for products, if you're going to buy packaged food, look for packaged foods that are made with canola oil. That's another step that you can take. And then, as you mentioned, eating the grass-fed animals is one, or looking for omega-3 enriched eggs, which are eggs produced, they're laid by chickens that have been fed a high omega-3 diet. Which would be flaxseed, greens, algae in some cases, fish meal in some cases. They're all proprietary, but basically those are the main ingredients.
So again, putting green back into the diets for our animals.
Right. And the egg story is one of my favorite stories, because eggs, all eggs, used to be omega-3 enriched eggs when chickens were wild and foraging for themselves on the green parts of plants and on insects that had eaten those greens. So all eggs used to be this. And chickens funnel the omega-3s into the egg for the same reason that omega-3s are concentrated in the breast milk of nursing women. And that's for the brain development of the next generation. In that case, the chick instead of the infant. And it's a very neat story. And then once we started feeding chickens grains instead of these greens, all our eggs became omega-3 deficient.
And I guess when you think about it, what happens to our brains?
Yeah, what happens to our brains? You know, people have not been We know that this deficiency is linked to depression and other Alzheimer's, other ailments. In terms of intelligence, very little work has been done to see. It's linked in infants to, if infants aren't given omega-3s, you can see a clear difference in IQ. But then over time, it's very hard because, as I said, omega-3s are really a very abundant fat. The only place that they are not abundant is in the food supply of Americans and other Westerners.
Wow. And once again, the omega-3s have gone missing because we simply took them out.
Yeah. And this going back to this egg story, these eggs, when a free-range, a truly free-range chicken, the eggs that chicken lays are as rich in omega-3s as a piece of fish. So you see, by changing the nature of those eggs, we've increased our need for eating fish.
And we've put the fish in the ocean at risk because we're frantically trying to eat enough fish.
Exactly. There aren't enough fish to correct this problem, but we can correct it in other ways.
Okay, and when we get back, we're going to get a good recipe for Susan Allport, for the queen of fats, on how we can get the right balance of omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids back in our diets so that we can have good, strong minds, bright eyes, strong hearts, and you name it. Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, it is the nutrient that is essential for strong hearts, bright eyes, and brilliant minds. And it has gone missing from our food chain. What can we do about the missing omega-3 fatty acids? Susan Allport, it's not just a matter of deficiency, it's a matter of balance. We tend to live on a diet right now that's very high in omega-6s and very low in omega-3s. What is the typical balance that we're working with now?
10 to 1 to 25 to 1.
Ooh.
Of 6s to 3.
A balance of 25.
Balance of 25 to 1 in some individuals.
Wow.
Yep. If you're eating a lot of fast food, processed food, your balance could be that high in your diet.
And the ideal balance is what? 2 to 1.
About 4 to 1.
4 to 1.
3 to 1. Nobody knows exactly what that ideal balance is, and it probably changes depending whether there's a lot of fish in your diet or whether you're getting most of this from vegetable oils. You know, but once you get close to that, the benefits will definitely follow.
So when we are at a balance of 25 omega-6s to 1 omega-3, what happens to our minds, our eyes, our heart, the rest
of
our body?
Well, in terms of, we know that the omega-6s are much more inflammatory than the omega-3s. One of the roles of these essential fats is to create cellular messengers that basically create these effects in the body, and one of the effects they create is inflammation. So omega-6s create a great deal of inflammation, omega-3s very little. Omega-6s are much more vasoconstrictive. That means they constrict the blood vessels, which we know is not a good thing. Omega-3s are not vasoconstrictive. Omega-6s cause blood cells to clump together or aggregate and cause clotting. Omega-3s do not. So that all of those things, we know that inflammation is at the root of most of our diseases, and these are all effects that lead towards more inflammation, more clotting, more vasoconstriction.
And we get the omega-3s from where?
Where do we get
yes.
the omega-3s?
Yes.
From, you mean?
How can we put them into our diet?
How can we put them back in our diet?
Yes.
Well, the one way I mentioned already was, the first one is to eat more greens and animals that eat greens.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is to switch to a healthier cooking oil for most of your cooking needs, and that it would be to away from these high omega-6 oils, sunflower oil, corn flour oil, to canola oil. You can still use butter and olive oil for those things that, you know, taste really good with butter and olive oil, like baked potatoes and salad dressings.
And above all, use less
of those high omega-6 oils. Above all.
Above all.
That's what's throwing the food supply out of whack.
Susan Allport, author of Queen of Fats, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a
wild ride to start with, but we got
I'm glad to know that other people have technical difficulties.
we were deficient in an essential nutrient in our equipment here today, and that's what happens when you're short on it. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us as well. We hope to see you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain. And remember, cheap food isn't. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.